This morning on Language Lab, we will discuss baby talk. Yes, the way babies are talked to. Are babies talked to the same way across cultures, and what differences are there? Let's find out from Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, Chair of Linguistics and Director of Language Lab at the University of Western Australia. Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, I'm very, very well. Thank you. And how are you?
Yeah, well, thanks. Excited to learn all about baby talk. So let's get into it. What is baby talk?
Yes, so baby talk, so important. And before we get started today, I wanted to dedicate this segment to someone I lost recently. I know this is a bit sad, but also important to dedicate this to her. And this was my University of Melbourne supervisor, Professor Barbara Kelly, who was an expert in this field, the field known as first language acquisition. She unfortunately passed away suddenly and unexpectedly in December last year, and so this one is for her, dedicated to her wonderful being and her memory. So what is baby talk? So basically what it is the way that babies are addressed. So it's also known as infant-directed speech. It refers to how caregivers and adults speak to babies or children who are in the midst of acquiring language. So what we mean by this is that, of course, we're all always, as adults, we're always learning new words and new ways of saying things. But babies have a different job, and it involves really learning sounds, structures, word structure, sentence structure, meaning, how to use language in context. So it's very labor-intensive. One way that adults, caregivers make this job easier for babies is through the use of baby talk. Now, when we teach this in the West, Westerners, we tend to think, well, baby talk exists across different languages. It makes sense, right, that someone would want to make language easier for a baby to be able to acquire it. But it turns out that in different cultures, things happen very differently.
Yep. So how does baby talk different? How is it different across cultures?
Yeah. So there's no universal way in which caregivers address children, and no universal way in which children are raised. I mean, in Western households, it's quite common to have one or two caregivers, maybe three in a household, but most likely two, interacting with a baby or two. In other cultures, you'll have a whole host of people interacting with a whole host of children. And so there's a really interesting study of Samoan culture where basically what has been observed is that most caregivers, when interacting with their babies, will not really expand on a child's utterance. They will not really believe that an infant's actions are intentional. They kind of think, well, you know, babies act out of sort of impulse. They're babies. They haven't really figured out how to do stuff. So correcting their speech will not really help in any way, enhancing their speech or even addressing them as though what they're saying is intentional, what they're doing is intentional, doesn't really work. This is quite different to the way things happen in the West, where what babies do generally tends to be viewed as intentional, as though babies are trying to communicate, as though they're trying to achieve a goal. So then they're addressed differently.
Wow. So how do social practices influence language acquisition?
Yes. And so social practices are huge. And this is such a good example of the way that society and culture interact when it comes to language. When we think about the way that Anglo-Australian households tend to raise their babies, as I was saying before, everything seems to be intentional, and there's an expansion of what the baby is doing so that they're able to understand how to use language in context. Because in addition to learning about structure, of course, we need to learn about contextual sort of usage. And so there are differences around whether the child will be paying attention to a single individual, for example, a single caregiver, maybe two people, or whether the child will need to pay attention to a whole range of people in their midst and need to figure out things to do with, for example, collective nouns, how to use different ways of addressing a group of people, kinship, so how they are related to different people and what that means linguistically, honorifics, forms of address that are sort of respectful for your maybe grandparents or your parents or aunties and so on. And so whether people are paying attention to an individual or a group will also shape the way that they acquire a language. The other thing to mention as well is that a lot of us in the West think that learning a language or acquiring a language is about a single language, say English, when in reality there is a significant number, there's a significant number of people in Australia who are actually being raised multilingual, whether it's First Nations communities or migrant communities and so on. And so that is another layer of, another difference, yeah, where the baby's paying attention to more than one language.
Yeah, wow. So we've spoken a little bit about different cultures and the different ways babies do acquire language. Is there anything universal about the way babies acquire language between cultures?
Yeah, something that appears to be consistent across cultures is that babies will learn about semantic, and by semantic I mean meaning-related sort of aspects of language, and pragmatic content, which is to do with meaning in context, way earlier than they're able to acquire grammatical features. So they're kind of doing these two things of paying attention to the context and paying attention to the meaning of what they say, and then they'll take care of grammatical features. The grammatical features are kind of developing, the structure is sort of developing in the background. And so, for example, you'll see that babies are quite good at telling you what they want, and they will know the difference between different things that are placed in front of them, for example, but they won't be able to conjugate their verbs accurately, for instance, until later on. And so the initial stages of acquisition across different languages sort of teaches, you know, help us to learn about our social role and where we sit in that kind of world that we live in. And then as we grow older, we're able to use the structure, the linguistic structure, very accurately.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's still, you know, I'm constantly learning more about the English language and structure and grammar. So for babies to have you know, an understanding of this is incredible. Is there something that all babies are likely to learn first when they are learning languages?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what we tend to find is that before babies are able to put sort of a couple of words together, they'll combine some sort of noun, some sort of verb, some sort of action word or a thing word, that's what a noun is, and they will combine that with gesture. And this is exactly what the person I'm dedicating this to was you know, has researched quite extensively, this combination of gesture and word that happens really early on, where for a caregiver to see that a child is uttering a word that may sound maybe an approximation of the word for the adult, and gesturing towards it can be quite helpful. So babies are very, very smart. And so that's pretty common to be the first thing, that combination of gesture and sound. And then as language expands, we are able to form sentences, and then we're able to tell a story. It happens pretty early, actually, but by the time a child is about 3 years old, they're able to tell you a story. They're able to take you back in time. They're able to tell you about their dreams. They're able to make up stuff. And that is the beauty of human language.
Wow. Smart babies. Thank you for joining us, Celeste. I'll let you get on with your Thursday. Thank you.
Lovely.
That was Dr. Celeste Rodriguez-Luro, Chair of Linguistics and Director of Language Lab at the University of Western Australia.